Let's try that one more time. That wasn't very good. One more time. Good morning. It's a little bit better. As Children's Church makes their way to the foyer, I know, they've all left us. Well, it's good to see you this morning, and I know that it is homecoming Sunday. We do have some visitors with us, and we're so glad that you're here, but even if it's just home folks, we'll still celebrate homecoming together. One of the things that I want to talk about this morning is something that has been on my mind and in my heart for quite a while. And this is talk about a vision. Vision is something that is essential in the life of the church. One preacher said it best. He says, as a church today, we must also have a vision. He says, a church without a vision is like a surgeon without a scalpel or like a blacksmith without a hammer. Churches without vision are just churches who struggle. They don't really know where they're going. They don't know how to get there. And they just seem to be existing. For us as a church, my heart's desire as your pastor, and I hope your heart's desire as a follower of Christ, is that we would have a vision. That we would see what it is that God wants us to do. And that He would show us how it is that we can fulfill that vision of what He wants us to do. You know, a vision doesn't have to be something that is so grandiose that we would be a mega church, but if we want to have that vision, that's okay too. You know, we need to envision whatever it is that is God's will in the life of our church. But I want you to know that it's okay to be a small rural church. I want you to know that we can still serve God and still serve Him effectively and still be successful in our ministry and our outreach in the community that we're in and the size that we are. But I believe that we should also have an envision to try to obtain to reach higher and to reach farther than what we are right now. To see people saved, to fill up these church pews, to fill up this building so that others can come and hear and have a place to fellowship and to worship, a place that they can call home. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Book of Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Christ here, before He ascended back into heaven, He rose again and walked among His disciples and others for a period of several days, several weeks. And in that time, He shared a lot of different things, but one of the great things that Christ did in the period that He walked this earth after His resurrection, before He ascended into heaven for that 40-day period, was that He shared His vision for the church. Christ shared with His vision to His disciples what the church would be and what it would become even without His physical presence. You know, this was an opportunity and this was a moment for Christ to share with what He wanted the disciples to do. And He gave them the great commission. You know, He told them to go you therefore to preach the gospel in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bringing them into the fellowship of the church and teaching them all things as I have taught you. So Christ gave His vision for what the New Testament church would be even without His physical presence there, only with the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know, church, that that vision is still relevant for our vision as the church today. Our vision has to begin with the original vision that Christ gave to the New Testament church, what He shared here in Mark 16, 15. If you would stand with me as we read this verse and we give honor and reverence to the reading of the Word. And He says it this way, "Go into all of the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much. Lord, we thank You for Your many blessings, Lord. We thank You for the sunshine. Lord, we thank You for the cool weather. Lord, we just thank You for the gift of life. the ability to be here this morning, to come into fellowship one with another. And Lord, even though we may be fewer in numbers than what we would love to see in this church, Lord, I pray that You take those of us that are here, Lord, and that we will worship You freely, Lord, that we will worship You as You are worthy to be worshiped and praised, and that, Lord, You will speak to our hearts. Lord, that You will help us to see and understand what Your vision is for us here at Buena Vista. Lord, Father, I pray that our vision be centered and focused on the vision that You left with Your disciples before You ascended into heaven, before You took Your rightful place at the right hand of the Father. Lord, I pray that our heart's motivation, that our heart's desire is to go into all of this world and share Your gospel with every single creature, that they might be saved, that they might come to know You in the free pardon of sin. Lord, I pray that that vision expand beyond a message of salvation, that it also be a message of hope. Lord, that it be a message of joy, that it be a message of peace. Lord, I just pray that You use us to do Your handiwork. Lord, I pray that we will be surrendered to do Your handiwork. Lord, Father, give us a vision, Lord, that is mighty, that is great. Lord, give us a vision that, Lord, maybe even in the beginning we don't even think that we can obtain, that we may never get there. Lord, that's how great I want Your vision to be for this church. Lord, I want Your vision for this church to be so great that it just makes us take a step back. Lord, Father, I pray that today that You would use me just as a mouthpiece and as a tool and nothing more for Your honor and for Your glory. Lord, I pray that You but preach me as a dying man unto a lost and a dying world, that, Lord, You forgive me of all of my shortcomings, and that You just use me now. Lord, I pray that same prayer for everyone that is here, Lord. Lord, I pray that they would be willing to remove themselves from themselves, and that, Lord, they would be willing to cry out unto You and just surrender unto Your vision. That people here this morning, Lord, would be willing to put on Your vision and live Your vision every single day. Not just here at church, but at home and at work and everywhere that we go. Lord, help us to be surrendered to that cause. Lord, I pray whatever it is that stands in the way of our vision, the vision that You have for us, that, Lord, we would lay it down. Lord, maybe part of the problem is the fact that we come up with our own vision. We have this idea of what we want to be, how we want to be it, when we want to be it. Lord, I pray that that not be how it happens. But Lord, I pray that we focus on You and what Your vision would be. So Lord, this morning I just give it all to You. We ask Your Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct. It's this we pray in Christ's holy, precious name. Amen. Our vision for the church truly begins with this: go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. You know, God loved us so much that He gave His only Son. Gave Him His Son to die for us, that if we would believe in Him, truly believe in our hearts that He is the Son of God, that He died for our sins, and if we would be willing to confess our sins before Him, we might be saved. That's what the Bible tells us. That's what His Word ensures to us. Our foundation for our vision ought to be the foundation and the vision of the New Testament church as it was given well over 2,000 years ago, to go into the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. That's everybody. All of us are a part of His creation. There's no one group of people in this world who cannot be classified as a part of God's creation. They're all a part, every single one of us. It's all inclusive. Every part of this world needs to hear the gospel message. Church, our vision in this community truly ought to be that we be reaching out in this community, in the communities that surround us, and sharing with every creature Christ Jesus and Him crucified. You know, Philip's message was as simple as this. He says, "My message among you is nothing more than Christ Jesus and Him crucified." This is our vision. This is where it begins. If you say, "I want our church to grow," if you say, "I want our church to be something great again," if you say, "I want our church to be so successful," and you ask, "Where does it begin? What vision is it that gets us there?" It's this. This is the vision. That we go forward and we proclaim His gospel. Church, if we're just existing for the purpose of existing, just for the purpose of being here, we're not accomplishing much. I want us to exist for a great purpose. I want us to exist for God's purpose. And God has truly put us here for a grand purpose. Vision does several things in the life of the church. I want to share with you the first thing that vision does. Vision clarifies the church's direction. Has anybody ever just sat and asked yourself, where am I going? What am I doing? That happens. I don't know about you, but I do that every day. Every day that I wake up, where am I going and what am I doing? Anybody else? Two or three of you? Well, that's nice. I'm glad that the rest of you have it all put together so well. Because I don't. I mean, there's some days where I really question, what am I doing? Where am I going? And how in the world am I going to get there? Church, I know that from time to time, you probably, as a member, ask yourselves, where are we going? What are we doing? And how are we going to get there? You see, if we have a true vision, a vision as defined by God, I believe it answers those questions of, why are we here? Anybody ever ask that one? Why am I here? I really do question why I'm here sometimes. I question the impact that I make. I question, am I doing something of great value in my life and in this world? I hope that I am. That's a great concern of mine, and I believe if you're honest with yourself, at some point in time in your life, you have asked, why am I here? You've asked yourself, what is my purpose? For what purpose did God place me in my family, in my community, and in this church? What am I doing? And what do I need to be doing? Vision and direction will answer all of these questions. For us as a church, the question of what is my purpose, why am I here, what am I doing, and what do I need to be doing? All of those questions are answered in this vision. Church, this is going to be the foundation of our vision. This is going to be the foundation of who we are, that we go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. That is our vision. Church, I don't know about you, but I want a vision that I can be sold out on. I want a vision that I can truly be connected with. I want a vision that I can live for and that I can live by. I want a vision that motivates me to go forward. And I can think of no greater vision in all of this world than this. To proclaim Christ Jesus and His gospel to a lost and a dying world. I know there's a lot of folks that just don't get crazy motivated about this idea of going out and sharing with a lost and a dying world. We get anxious about it. We get nervous about it. We get concerned about it. We don't know how to do it. We don't know the best way to be successful. We ask ourselves, like, what am I going to do if somebody rejects what I have to say? What if somebody's rude to me? What if somebody's not very nice? What if somebody calls me a name? Let me tell you, all of those things and more might very well happen if you make the decision to live by this vision. But I don't know about you, but I believe with all of my heart that this vision is a worthy one to live by. Church, we need a vision that gives us direction and gives us guidance. Because when we have a vision, a truly defined vision, we have a clarification. We know the answer to those questions of what is my purpose, what am I here for, what am I doing, and what do I need to be doing. Too many churches simply do not know where they are going. Too many churches simply do not know where they're going. And I ask you, where are we going? It's rhetorical and you don't have to answer right now, but I hope it's something that you think about. Where are we going? What is our vision? What does our vision say about where we're going and the direction that we're going in? Church, I hope that you understand and see that you need to think about these kinds of things. You need to ask these kinds of questions about where am I going? When is the last time that you thought about where this church is going to be this time next year? This time next year, where do you want to be? This time 5 years from now, where do you want us to be? 10 years from now, where do you want this church to be? These are the kinds of things that we ought to ask ourselves. Where do we want to be? Church, I believe that the answer to that ought to be always at the center of God's will. Amen? Always at the center of His will. Always fulfilling the foundation of His vision for our church. I read a quote recently, and I was reminded of it, and it says this. It says, if you don't know where you're going, you can't see where you're going. If you don't know where you're going, you can't see where you're going. You see, without a vision, it's impossible to see what the end is going to be. I believe that as a church, we ought to set out with a truly defined destination. Where we want to end up. What we want to be. I believe if we begin with that, then we can begin to make the decisions and follow through with the parts that we need to follow through with to reach that destination. Has anybody ever set out on a trip? I'm trying to get you to participate so desperately this morning. Whew, man, I tell you, you're difficult. Wear me out. We've all set out on a destination somewhere. You've gone on a trip. I don't believe there's too many of us that have gotten in a car and just decided to drive somewheres and just see where we ended up at. You may have done that. Terry's done that, apparently. Thank you for being honest, all right? But there's probably not too many of us who've gone out on a vacation, a scheduled vacation, just got in the car and went. And where we ended up, that was okay. If you're reckless, you might do that. I don't know. Maybe reckless is a little bit of a harsh word. But as a church, I believe that we really ought to have a known destination. Where we want to go, what we want to achieve. And I believe when we answer those things, we can begin to truly see where we want to end up. We can truly see where we want to end up. But we can never see where we're going if we don't know where we're going. And I think a lot of churches, a lot of Christians, they just don't know where they're going. They're just there. They just exist. They're just being. Church, I want to be more than just existing. I want to be that church that says, you know what? Our vision is to reach X number of lost souls for Christ next year. Our goal as a church is to baptize X number of people this next year. You know, our goal as a church through the Center of Hope and Help is to reach and achieve a whole new number of people to serve greater than the number we served last year. You may say things like, well, is it really the business of a church to try to set numbers on things like that? Let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong, nothing in this world wrong with saying as a church, I want to see 100 people saved next year. What's wrong with that goal? What's wrong with saying, I want to see our church double in size over the next 5 years? There's nothing wrong with that. Those are good goals. Those are lofty goals. Goals that meet the vision of what this verse says. To go into the world and proclaim the gospel. We've got great things that are already beginning to happen in the life of our church through this ministry that we have in our old church building, the Center for Hope and Help. Last week we got to help how many families?
50. We're at
91 total families. 91 total families that have been impacted by this small mission project. Last week, 50 families. Amen. 50 families that we get to provide clothing for, that we get to provide resources for. We get to provide them some love and some advice. And most of all, we get to proclaim and share with them the gospel and God's love. Church, we have to have this understanding of where we want to go so that we can see how to get there. We've got great ministry opportunities here. We need you to come on board with the vision that God is giving our church. The vision for these ministries, the vision for our children's ministry that Christy and Sam are working so diligently for and with, changing our children's ministry. And I'll share this with you. Everybody should have gotten the text. I probably should have mentioned this at the beginning of this message, but our youth pastor search committee has met with and interviewed and will be bringing forward a couple at the end of this month, next Sunday, for a question and answer time after the morning service. And we feel as a committee that God is calling them to come and serve us here at this church. And they feel that call and they feel that unity. And they've been here for a few weeks now. They weren't able to be here this morning, but they've been here for a few weeks. And they love our church. They love the atmosphere of our church. And they love the people here. And they want to come and labor and serve with us. And next Sunday, after the AM service, we'll have a time of question and answer where you can come and you can meet them. God is doing great things here. And God has given them a vision. Even before they have been brought here in entirety, God is already giving them a vision for their service here. God is doing great and mighty things in the life of our church. If you aim for nothing, you'll hit it every time. Anybody ever heard that? If you aim for nothing, you'll hit it every time. Our church needs to aim for lofty goals. To help more families. To reach more lost people for Christ. To see our church grow dramatically. Nothing wrong with having those visions, because those visions provide clarity for where we want to be and how we're going to get there. Vision also does another great thing for the church. Vision also invites amongst us as followers of Him into unity. As Christians, when we have vision, we can truly have unity. It's easier to have unity when you have a common vision. You see, this vision isn't just for some churches. This vision that Christ laid out wasn't just for a few. This vision is for all. This vision is for every single church. So when you ask, what is it that we have as a vision for our church? This is the basis of the vision. And we can all have unity in this vision that we're going to proclaim Christ to a lost and a dying world, to the whole creation. We can be unified in that. It's difficult to have unity amongst God's people when we don't have a commonality with each other. Well, I'm telling you this, as a follower of Christ, as a member of this church, we have unity in this common vision. You don't have to look further in unity causes than this cause. The cause to proclaim Christ to a lost and a dying world. Paul, in the book of Romans, chapter 15, verses 5 and 6, he said this. He said, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, as followers of Him, we have a common vision, not just to proclaim His love to a lost and a dying world, but we also have a common vision to worship and to praise Him. That in everything we do, we would bring honor and glory to His name. Everything that we do, church, ought to bring honor and glory to His name. These are the things that unify us. Church, when we make the decision to unify together behind this vision, behind this cause, we can do great things that together with one voice we can glorify God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how I want to do it. I don't want this church to be a bunch of different voices, to be a bunch of different visions, to be a bunch of divided Christians. I want this church to be a unified body of Christ who comes together and who glorifies Him in one mind and in one voice. He said in verse 5, He said that we would have harmony. Church, I want harmony. I want us to come together and love each other because we love the Lord. Come together and love each other because we love the Lord. Why? How can we do that? How can we love each other? Because He first loved us. Because He first loved us. We can love each other because we love Him. We can love each other because we serve Him. We can love each other because we have this vision and this commonality in Him. You see, vision helps us to bring in workers to the ministry. When we have a vision, when we say we want to reach X number of people for Christ, see them saved. When we say we want to double our church in so many years, when we say we want to reach 50 more families in the next month alone through this ministry, when we define our vision, when we define our goals as such, we can begin to see how we're going to get there, and we can use that vision to motivate people to come and work and serve. You see, when we tell people what the vision is, I believe people can begin to get behind it. Some of the greatest leaders in the world have been able to be successful because they could cast their vision. They were able to say, this is what I see, this is where we need to be, and here's how we're going to get there. You see, when you do that, when you can say things like that, this is where we're going, this is how we're going to get there, this is what we need to be, that's something that can motivate people to get behind it. And I want you to join together with me in the vision of our church, of proclaiming to a lost and a dying world Him and Him crucified. That we can reach out and show the world that we love Him by our actions and by our deeds. Unity helps us to keep those workers. Just like unity and vision helps us to bring workers and motivates them to work in these ministries, unity will help us to keep them serving. Why do you think it is that Christ came and shared this vision right before He ascended into heaven? You see, when Christ first came back, He didn't share this vision. In the middle part of when Christ first came back, 20-some days into it, He didn't share this vision. This was the very last thing that Christ told His disciples before He went to heaven. Proclaim the gospel to a lost and a dying world. Go ye therefore, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. The last thing that He said, a lot of it had to do with because it was so important, but a lot of it had to do with the fact that He knew that He had to keep the disciples serving. He knew that the disciples, for the first time in their ministry, were going to be without Him. And they needed something to keep them unified. And He gave them this unity. The very last thing that I think that vision does for the church that I want to share with you is this. Vision truly creates energy. Vision creates energy. I believe as a church, when we have a vision and we say what that vision is, where we want to be and how we're going to get there, I believe it makes people excited. I believe it makes people excited to know that God's working in our youth program. I think it makes people excited to know that God's working in our children's ministry, that God's working in our outreach ministry, that God's working in the life of our church. I believe that vision excites people. I want you to be excited. I want you to be energized. I want you to be so excited that you'll be energized to come forward and be a part of our labors together. That you'll be energized to come and not just exist in it, but to participate in it. Make it a part of your life. Make it a part of your service. Make it a part of your purpose. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just need a little energy. Anybody? Amen. Sometimes I just need a little bit of energy. Some days I just get really tired. I'm not even going to lie. There's some days that I get so tired that I don't even think straight. You know, there's a lot of times at work when it gets quiet, I try to get a nap in every chance that I can so that I don't fall asleep driving to a call somewhere, or that I don't make poor decisions while at a call somewhere. We need energy. Church, if you need energy, grasp onto this vision. Be a part of what God is doing here in this church. Be motivated about it. Come and serve at the Center of Hope and Help. Come and fold clothes. Come and hang up clothes. Come and prep clothes. Come and meet people as they come in to receive resources that they so desperately need. Just share with them some time in your day to show them that you care. It's as simple as that. You don't have to be some great orator. You don't have to be some great preacher. You don't have to have all of these great gifts, talents, and abilities that you think that you don't have. All that you really need to be able to do is show somebody that you care. My goodness, that goes so far in life. Just to help somebody see that somebody cares enough about them that they would be there to help them and to serve them in their time of need. Be a part of what we have going on here in church. Don't just come. Don't just exist. Be a part. Participate. Harness that energy. Vision does great things. Vision will give us energy. Vision will motivate us. It'll point us in the direction we need to go because vision will always clarify. But one of the great things that I think vision really does is it unifies us together. Church, let's be unified together in our vision as we go forward. As our praise and worship team comes, we're going to close out this time of preaching. We come to a time in the service when now you can respond. If God is speaking to your heart, you can come. You can pray. I'd be happy to pray with you, pray for you. Let me tell you some things that you can come and pray for. You can come and pray for me. If you don't have anything or anybody else to pray for, you can come and you can pray for me. I have difficult weeks sometimes. Being a pastor is very stressful. I love you all and I love what I do. But it is very stressful and it weighs very heavily on my mind. I personalize, internalize a lot of things about serving you all as we serve God. So if you have nothing else, nobody else to pray for, you can pray for me. You can also pray for the lost. I believe that every single one of us knows somebody, related to somebody, works with somebody that is lost. Our vision, the vision that Christ gave us, was to share and proclaim His gospel to the whole creation. Pray that that lost person will be saved. Pray for yourself. There's no shame in praying for yourself. Pray that God would deliver you from the things that hold you back from His vision. Pray that whatever it is that is in your life that makes it difficult for you to serve Him, that He would just remove it. Pray that God make great changes in your life. Maybe you need to pray for rededication in your life. Your service to Him just isn't what it used to be. You've gotten so distant in your relationship with God that you just truly need to come back to the center of loving Him. Maybe you're here and you've never known Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. The greatest prayer that you could come and share in is a prayer of salvation, inviting Christ Jesus into your heart and into your life. As a church member, come and pray for our church. Come and pray for the vision of our church. There's nothing short to pray for. a long list. Now is your opportunity. Now is your time to respond to that. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we close out this service, we come to a time of response. Lord, I pray that the hearts of Your people, Lord, will be motivated to come. Lord, I pray especially for those in need. Lord, those that have never known You, I pray that they would come. Lord, those that just need a time of rededication. Lord, those that have strayed away. Lord, those that just need strength. Lord, those that need energy. Lord, those that need vision. Lord, those that need the questions of purpose and why I'm here answered. Lord, I pray that they come. Lord, Father God, I pray that the Holy Spirit is leading our church. That You just keep casting that vision, Lord, of where we need to be and how we're going to get there. Lord, just keep doing the great things that You're doing. Lord, I pray that Satan wouldn't be allowed to tear it down. Lord, I pray He wouldn't be allowed to interfere. This is always all we want, Lord. This is all we want to do is serve You better, more effectively. It's my heart's desire, and I pray it be the hearts and desires of others. Lord, cast Your vision. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand together.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and braced my fears, relieved. How precious still that grace appeared the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed. Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve. Sun will bear to shine, the God who called me here below will be. will be forever.